Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A real quick, Gator.
Yeah.
Before we go to the phones, I'm looking at George Sipple's Twitter. And, you know, he works for
Look
the
at his Twitter.
He's looking at his Twitter.
Where's that located?
Yeah, we're friends. I can look at his Twitter.
The Free Press writer?
Yeah, the Free Press writer. I'm looking at his Twitter. he's tweeting about all these nets that have been put up at all Major League Baseball stadiums, including Comerica Park.
Yes.
And it looks like, and it's hard to see here, but it definitely extends past the dugout. Right? Now, it looks like it ends after the dugout. Is that what you're seeing, Kang?
Oh, yeah. It goes further than that. Yeah.
So how far past the dugout does it go?
Almost all the way down to the
foul pole?
Yeah. Not to all the way to the foul pole, but far down that line.
So that means, like remember how kids used to go down each aisle?
Right.
And want autographs? Mm-hmm. And how Mike Trout even, you know, before he bat when the Angels come to town, he would actually sign a bunch of balls right by home plate.
Yeah, this means kids are going to have to go to a different area.
Yeah, there's no autographs.
Oh, there's autographs.
Do you like this? I mean, listen, I understand they're trying to protect the fans.
There's autographs. You're just going to have to do it from further up the line.
Well, it's going to have to be more towards the outfield.
Yeah, and?
Yeah. I don't like all the netting.
Well, here's another one.
Like, I understand that.
No, I was just going to say, because it's obviously right behind the dugout, too, when players used to, you know, toss a ball over the dugout.
Can't do that.
That's not happening, for sure.
Now, does the net end, or where does the net go up to?
It's 30 feet in the air.
Yeah, so you're probably not going to be able to
throw it, like, you know, just
lob
them
straight
up.
Which they'll do some of that, I'm sure.
Again,
or they'll pass it through the net, underneath the net. And
I get that, you know, the goal is to protect fans.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. I just not necessarily, I don't know. I'll miss the freedom with no nets.
What freedom
That's
is
just
that?
Me.
Freedom to get hit in the face when you're not looking?
Yeah, sure. Sure. No, listen, I mean, it did happen, and it was a problem, and I'm sure, I've been told by the Tigers that these nets are, very translucent, so you can see very easily through them. It's like no obstruction at all.
Well, if you went to the baseball park and somebody offered you seats behind home plate, were you excited?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because they're great seats, right? Yeah. Guess what? There's netting in front of it.
There's
Do
netting
you care
there too,
about
yeah.
that? No,
yeah.
So you're not going to care either if you're down the third baseline and you're halfway into the outfield and there's still a net in front of you. It's not going to, it doesn't obstruct your view.
I got to get
fine.
Used to it. That's all.
It'll take 10 seconds to get used to it if people are worried about it. Now, the thing of the autograph seekers and all that, there's going to have to be an adjustment there too. And it might be simply before games, you go to the same spot and they just, you know, pass it underneath the netting. That's all. Or they'll have to go up a couple sections and do it further in the outfield.
Well, apparently, I'm looking at some ticket techs. Apparently, the nets can be raised. So if that's the case, you raise the nets, get autographs, and then you lower the nets for game time. Because, obviously, the
or
batting
the other way
cage...
around.
Right. Well, yeah. You lower the nets for game time. So the
I would
nets
imagine
will be up.
You would raise the nets for game time. You think the nets suspend way up there? Or do you think that they raise the nets?
Like, they will be fully netted for game
I
time.
I know what you're saying.
Yes.
What I'm saying is I think it's the other way around. I think that the net... And I could be wrong. I don't know. I would think that the nets, much like in football stadiums, for extra points... The nets get raised when you want to, when it's game time.
Yeah. Well, and the nets will be up is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know why you have to go with some semantics there. How dare you?
Well, I just want to get it right.
Yeah, I'm looking at ticket text. Rieger is an idiot trying to protect the fans. Fire Rieger immediately. So, I mean, there it is. I mean, we've been going through Gator punch Jeff in the face while he's looking and telling him he should have put a net up. Dan from Troy.
I haven't hit Jeff in years and I won't do that again.
Yeah, it's one time. Listen, it's just something to get used to.
But, I mean, you really
something interesting.
It.
You don't want fans getting injured. I understand.
No, I don't want fans getting injured. And you're not sitting there anyway. What do you care?
I do sit there sometimes. Walk around the park.
You just walk around? Take a little leisure. Yeah. Listen, there'll be plenty of seats. There'll be plenty of seats for you to figure it out.
Long season.
I think it'll be all right. 248-539-9797. Tim is in Flushing. Tim, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, guys. First of all, Gator, nice choice on the word salacious. I think that's perfect.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So not a big fan of Michigan State. I'm a more Michigan guy. You know, got the degree from there and everything. But I will tell you this in no uncertain terms. I don't like what they've done to D'Antonio, who I don't like. I don't like what they've done to Izzo, who I do like. I've seen Izzo in gyms on a late Friday night in Flint. I know he's scouting guys and doing all that stuff. But you know what? He'll stand there and talk to people and take pictures and take autographs forever. Those two guys, in my view, have worked their butts off to try and do things clean. And it's not an easy job. When some of the areas they'll go into, they'll go wherever they need to get some of the best players. And it's not easy to do. And yet these guys are still being accused of really kind of almost being associated with this whole Larry Nassar scandal. In my view, I think it's criminal. I think ESPN, in my view, if there's some way to be for them to be held accountable, they should be.
And that's something to be determined down the road. I just think, you know, maybe ESPN should just report on the story that's at hand. Absolutely. Go ahead and talk or not talk, but write an article, Dan Murphy. Go ahead. Write one about William Strample, the former dean of osteopathic medical school at Michigan State. Go ahead and do that because it's appropriate that you do that. He was just arrested. Yeah. Write it up. Tie it into Larry Nassar. Yeah, absolutely. What did he know about Nassar at the time? Did he facilitate this to go through? What is this more enabling going on at Michigan State? Write about it. Let everybody know. No question about that. Get to the bottom of it. But you don't have to associate it with the football program by putting up a picture on Twitter of Spartan Stadium when that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, furthermore, my question is, did they hold Dan Murphy? You know, if Dan Murphy, if he writes it, and he says, no, you shouldn't put that picture up. They say, well, you know, we're going to put it up or your job's on the line. Because ESPN has laid off a ton of people. They really have.
I don't think this was a Dan Murphy decision, Tim. I think Dan followed protocol. He set the story wherever it was supposed to be sent. And ESPN did this. And whether they did it, you know, with spite on their mind, I guess we'll never know. But it sure as hell seems like it does. Like, to me, it just seems like they've been proven wrong, right? They put out that outside the lines report and a bunch of people fired back, including Michigan State. And since then, they haven't been able to produce any proof that actually says that their report in the first place was correct. So now, at least to me, it seems like they're going to take every chance possible to try to get back at Michigan State by continuing to do stuff like this. And even if they have to take down the picture, big whoop-de-doo, well, in their mind, they're still trying to get back at MSU.
Right, and it's not about this article. It's about the picture that was associated with the article that let's stand up there online for 7 hours. And, you know, it's there for clickbait because, you know, some people may have grown tired of the Nassar stuff because, like, okay, Nassar's in jail where he belongs. He's going to rot in there, and I hope he dies there. Well, what's happened with William Strample? Same thing. If this guy's complicit with that or complicit with that, then, yeah, let's go.
Well, he faces 9 years in prison. But the other thing, too, is for the people that think that Mark D'Antonio in his tweet that he doesn't care about the survivors or he doesn't care about what went down, that's just silly. He's talking about protecting one of his own players who is now deceased, who apparently was a really good kid. Great. And now his number has to be lumped in with the sickness that was Larry Nassar and the cover-up and Larry Nassar's boss. So come on. I mean, Mark D'Antonio, I think, did the right thing. Good for him.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with D'Antonio coming out and tweeting what he tweeted. And I also would, I'm not going to applaud ESPN for taking down the photo. It's what they should have done. They should have put it up in the first place. Put up the block S. You want to show the Sparty statue at Michigan State. Everybody knows that's Michigan State representative. That's fine. But if you go to Spartan Stadium, the football field with a football helmet there, it's representative of the football program, and that's got nothing to do with this case. 248-539-9797, the telephone number. Paul is on the cell phone. Paul, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, I want to shift the conversation back to the netting at the stadium, and we're all talking about the fans, but I have not heard anything about the impact on the rules of the game. So, for example, let's say a bad overthrow that might have bounced and gone into the stands and now hits the net. Is that ball in play, or is that an automatic base, or what? And what if a pop foul is hit down the first base line and Miggy goes over and catches it right up against the netting, and there's a question as to whether it hit the net. Is that a reviewable play? I mean, I haven't heard anything about that.
But Paul, I think it's a good question. As far as it is reviewable, I believe, to see if the ball hit the net, because it is with catchers, too. Yeah. Remember the great play that McCann made the one time against the net. So I think that's reviewable. As far as the other one, though, you're right. I mean, so a throw to third base, I would assume, is the same as a ball going into the dugout. You get the extra base, right?
I would think so.
Although the ball's going to be able to bounce right back to you, so it's going to be easier to make the play.
Now, this is Paul Gross from Channel 4, right, Paul?
Right, yeah.
Okay, Paul? So, Paul, we got to ask you, but what's going on with the weather tomorrow?
Go ahead.
What's happening with the weather tomorrow?
Yeah, we have a decent chance of rain, and the only question now is the matter of timing. And I've got new computer model data that literally is coming in right now. I'm on my way into work right now, so I'm really chomping at the bit to see that this afternoon. But it's looking like a chance for rain, and there's a reason we always have an off day the day after opening day here in the Great White North. I mean, the weather is always so questionable.
Does this rain look like it's drizzle? You play through rain if you throw the first pitch, or is this rain like, no, this is a delay, put the tarp on the field the whole bit type rain?
And that's the type of thing that I've been discussing with Heather Nabosny over at the ballpark. You know, I'm her meteorologist down there, and you know, that's exactly what she wants to know. And right now it looks like it's tarpable rain, or at least part of it. And so the question is, if it starts late morning or 1 o'clock, well, then you can't start the game, and then you have issues there as to whether you even play it. But then if it's a rain that doesn't start until, say, 3, well, maybe you get in part of the game. So we're all looking at the timing right now, but it does look like at least part of this rain is going to be tarpable. We'll have
Paul,
to watch it real carefully.
Do you have an issue with us being mad at you because it's going to rain tomorrow?
Well, I'm in sales, not management. I can tell you all about the weather, but I can't do anything about it. I'm not the manager.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Lastly, and this may be looking a little too far ahead here, but I was on the phone with a panic advisor of the show last night, and she said something to me about Saturday, a possibility of snow.
Yeah, yesterday, you wouldn't have, if I could have showed it, we actually showed these two models on the air yesterday. We literally had one model that had rain and the other model that had like 5 inches of snow. And so it looks today like we're leaning more toward the rainier scenario with maybe a chance for some snow to the far north. But that's another one we're going to resolve hopefully with the models this afternoon when they come in. This is a crazy start to the baseball season because we have a game Saturday down there at the ballpark.
All right, man. Well, get after it already. Get after it and then make sure you tweet it out and we'll let people know about it.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. Keep up the good work, guys.
All right. Thanks. Paul Gross from Channel 4, the meteorologist there, letting us know what could happen tomorrow, and we'll keep you abreast of that weather situation because it is a fluid situation, to say the least. This is 97.1, The Ticket.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.